All right, so let's go ahead and move on to our second reading, Nehemiah chapter 7. Verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now it came to pass when the wall was built, and I had set up the doors, and the porters, and the singers, and the Levites were appointed, that I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man, and feared God above many. And I said unto them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot. And while they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them, and appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, every one in his watch, and every one to be over against his house. Now the city was large and great, but the people were few therein, and the houses were not builded. And my God put into mine heart to gather together the nobles and the rulers and the people, that they might be reckoned by genealogy. And I found a register of the genealogy of them which came up at the first, and found written therein, these are the children of the province that went up out of the captivity, of those who had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away, and came again to Jerusalem and to Judah, everyone unto his city, who came with Zerubbabel, Jeshua, Nehemiah, Azariah, Raamiah, Nahamani, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mizperet, Bigvai, Nehum, and Baana. The number, I say, of the men of the people of Israel was this: the children of Parosh, 2,172. The children of Shephatiah, 372. The children of Ara, 652. The children of Pahat Moab, of the children of Jeshua and Joab, 2,818. The children of Elam, 1,254. The children of Zatu, 845. The children of Zakai, 70. The children of Binui, 648. The children of Bebai, 628. The children of Asgad, 2,322. The children of Adonikam, 67. The children of Bigvai, 2,307. The children of Adin, 655. The children of Ater of Hezekiah, 98. The children of Hashum, 328. The children of Bezai, 324. The children of Harif, 112. The children of Gibeon, 95. The men of Bethlehem and Netophah, 108. The men of Anathoth, 128. The men of Beth-Azmavet, 42. The men of Kirjath-Jaarim, Kephira and Beirot, 743. The men of Ramah and Geba, 621. The men of Michmash, 122. The men of Bethel and Ai, 123. The men of the other Nebo, 52. The children of the other Elam, 1,254. The children of Harim, 320. The children of Jericho, 345. The children of Lod, Hadid, and Ono, 721. The children of Sena'ah, 3,930. The priests, the children of Jediah of the house of Jeshua, 973. The children of Immer, 1,052. The children of Pashur, 1,247. The children of Harim, 1,017. The Levites, the children of Jeshua, of Kadmiel, and of the children of Hodevah, 74. The singers, the children of Asaph, 148. The porters, the children of Shalum, the children of Ater, the children of Talmon, the children of Akub, the children of Hatita, the children of Shobai, and 138. The Nethinims, the children of Ziha, the children of Hashufa, the children of Tabaoth, the children of Keros, the children of Sia, the children of Paddan, the children of Lebana, the children of Hagabah, the children of Shalmei, the children of Hanan, the children of Gidel, the children of Gahar, the children of Reiah, the children of Rezin, the children of Nekoda, the children of Gazam, the children of Uzzah, the children of Phasea, the children of Besai, the children of Menuim, the children of Nephishasim, the children of Bakbuk, the children of Hakupa, the children of Harhur, the children of Bazlit, the children of Mehida, the children of Harsha, the children of Barkos, the children of Sisera, the children of Tama, the children of Neziah, the children of Hatipha, the children of Solomon's servants, the children of Sotai, the children of Shoferet, the children of Perida, the children of Ja'ala, the children of Darkan, the children of Gidel, the children of Shephatiah, the children of Hatil, the children of Pokeret, of Zebayim, the children of Ammon. All the Nethinims and the children of Solomon's servants were 392. And these were they which went up also from Telmela, Tel Harasha, Kerub, Adon, and Immer. But they could not show their father's house, nor their seed, whether they were of Israel. The children of Deliah, the children of Tobiah, the children of Nekoda, the children, 642. And of the priests, the children of Habiah, the children of Koz, the children of Barzillai, which took one of the daughters of Barzillai, the Gileadite, to wife, and was called after their name. These sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but it was not found. Therefore, they, as polluted, were put from the, or were they as polluted, put from the priesthood. And the Tirshatha said unto them that they should not eat of the most holy things, till there stood up a priest with Urim and Thummim. The whole congregation together was 42,303, beside their manservants and their maidservants, of whom there were 7,337. And they had 245 singing men and singing women. Their horses, 736, their mules, 245, their camels, 435, 6,720 asses, and some of the chief of the fathers gave unto the work. The Tirshatha gave to the treasure 1,000 drams of gold, 50 basins, 530 priests' garments, and some of the chief of the fathers gave to the treasure of the work 20,000 drams of gold and 2,200 pounds of silver. And that which the rest of the people gave was 20,000 drams of gold and 2,000 pounds of silver and 67 priests' garments. So the priests and the Levites and the porters and the singers and some of the people and the Nethinims and all Israel dwelt in their cities. And when the seventh month came, the children of Israel were in their cities. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so we hear at the beginning then that the Levites and the porters and the singers were appointed first. Did you hear that? The Levites, the porters, and the singers were appointed first. Why? Because we've already said why the wall was built. The wall was built to protect the temple and the worship of God. And so in their proper prioritizing of things, the worship of God had its priority, and so these singers, Levites, were appointed, the porters. The porters, do you remember who they are? The porters were also Levites, but they had charge of whether or not the sacrifices that came into the temple passed the no-blemish muster. Right? Now, that was abused in the time of Christ, but that was actually set up as a grace for the people of God so that they could know that their offering was accepted with no blemish. Okay, so they were appointed first. Well, then, faithful men were sought to bear the responsibilities of this rule. We have two men that are named, Hanani and Hananiah. So Hanani is Nehemiah's brother, and he's a faithful man. And so notice that this is not a nepotistic appointment. It's an appointment because of his faithfulness. That's what the record tells us. Faithful men are hard to find, and yet they are most necessary for the success of any endeavor. Those who seek their own, who are selfish and concerned with their own estates, are not fit to lead. The kind of leadership necessary for godly success of any endeavor is bound up in ruling in the fear of God, serving sacrificially, as we've seen that Nehemiah has done throughout up till this chapter. So those must seek to serve sacrificially. And note that the primary concern of all civil authorities ought to be how to protect and to do their part for the establishment of the true religion within their bounds. This is what the civil authority was appointed to do in that day, that they might protect the worship of God. So then, this one man is described as fearing God above many. Sorry, fearing God above many. Well, that's something that we would want for ourselves, right? Whenever we hear a title like that being given to someone in Scripture, well, let us be about that same kind of service. This is the kind of testimony and reputation that we would want ourselves. What qualifications for leadership catch the eye of Nehemiah here? It's not any human talent, but it is the gracious fear of the Lord. That's the important part. See also there that there were some strategies to be observed. Nehemiah gave them some instruction. Now that the gates had been finished and the bars had been put upon them and they could be secured, Nehemiah says, so every day you're going to open the gates, but not till the sun is hot. Because, you know, we want you gatekeepers to labor in the heat of the sun. No, that's not why. The reason is because there were guards posted at the top of the gates, and they were not allowed to open those gates until you could see clearly enough from having a nice sun that there were no enemies laying in wait to charge when you opened the gates. So they were put in charge of opening those gates, but not until the sun was hot. There will be a watch over the gates of the city, that if there is an enemy, he will be seen. The guards shall watch before the opening of the gates, and then while they are open, and then after they are shut at night, the guards will continue to stand watch throughout the night by those same gates. And then notice, as all parties were interested in that work, they were all guards of their own place on the wall where their homes were, right? And so there was a particular way that Nehemiah had chosen to keep everyone's interest in that you'll guard the place where you live. And of course, there's also a greater responsibility there to guard our places where we live. We ought to be, we ought not to be militant, that's not what we're saying, but we ought to be vigilant. We ought to exercise the same kind of vigilance for our homes, perhaps not as intense as for a city, and yet we still ought to maintain our homes in such a way that we are protected. We can draw up our feet in the bed at night with a reasonable expectation of safety, and so on. Don't leave your front doors open. Okay, so now verse 5, and this is where we begin this very long set of accounting of the people of God, the reckoning of those who had returned in the days of Zerubbabel and Joshua. Scholars are divided as to exactly what Nehemiah has done here, whether or not he's just read the former register, or whether he has somewhat updated it regarding, who has come since then. There is a Nehemiah mentioned, but I don't think that's the same Nehemiah. My view is that he's reading the prior census from the days of Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest. But notice what it says, that God put in my heart to gather the nobles and the rulers and the people that they might be reckoned by genealogy. And so then he found this former record which came up at the first. And so now he will recount all of those names and those numbers. And so what Nehemiah does is he sees an ordinary and an extraordinary movement here. First of all, he's induced by the example of the first magistrates, Zerubbabel and Joshua, Joshua on the priestly side, Zerubbabel on the civil side, that they took a census of all that came back. And so he believes that will be a good thing to do here to encourage the people with their numbers. But notice beyond that, he says that it was the Lord that put it in his heart through this very ordinary means. Okay, so very often that's how it works out, isn't it? There's some ordinary thing that takes place, and that is something that we make use of by way of example. And when we look back, we can realize the hand of the Lord in that, that it was indeed the Lord that was leading us to do that by that prior example. We need not take up all of the names here. There's not a lot there for us in a scripture reading, but there are a couple of things that I do want to mention. First of all, there is a comparison that they would make between these two accountings, and they would do that so that they might remain humble as the hand of God has them advance, even though it's a small advance. I mean, when we think of the number that we're talking about, some 42,500 or so, that's not a lot of people to inhabit a city like Jerusalem that, remember, that three times in the year was able to handle over 2 or 3 million. So that's not a lot of people, and Nehemiah will even make that comment that the city is large and there are people here, but not a lot, that there will be more to come, and so they're preparing for that. The other thing that I want to mention is that these folks knew where they were to spread out, that if they were not all going to live in Jerusalem, they all knew where they belonged, because the record had their place of dwelling. So we have those that lived in these outlying cities that would indeed take their turn coming to Jerusalem to stand watch. The other thing I want to point out here is that there are folks that cannot reckon their genealogy in Israel. And so what does that mean for them? It means that they don't have the rights and privileges of Israel. Now, they can make a profession of faith and they can be brought into the church, but as far as their land or inheritance is concerned, if they have no record of their genealogy, they have no family home, right? And so they must take up the place of strangers, although they could be joined to the church. And then also, let us remember that when we travel, when we go anywhere, when we end up moving our residence halfway across the country, like one of our brothers is about to do, that what we want to do is we want to bring our credentials with us. We want to have those tokens of membership with us so that when we show up, we don't show up as strangers on the doorstep of another church, but we show up as brethren. This is an important thing that folks often forget today. There were also those who were told as children that they were priests. They were of the family of Aaron and that they were priests, but they had no genealogy for that. They had no record of it. And so they were put out, quote, as profane, end quote, out of the priesthood. So in that day, we understand that if a man was not of the tribe of Levi and then of the lineage of Aaron, he could not serve in that way. And so they were put out, not having the ability to show their bona fides. And the Tirshatha, Nehemiah said to them, you can't serve as priests until we are able to raise up a high priest with Urim and Thummim. I tend to agree with this. Many scholars are reckoning that this is a statement of politeness by Nehemiah. In other words, we don't have a high priest. We're not going to have one. We don't have Urim and Thummim. You're put out of the priesthood. I'm sorry. That it's sort of a polite way to say you're out perpetually. Finally, then, we have the willing offerings of the nobles of the people and their forwardness to set the tone for the offerings of the people. This is good. Leadership is important. Leadership leads by way of example, which is what the nobles did here in Nehemiah chapter 7. And this is the kind of leadership that we ought to look for in church and in state. And then, even in our families, we look for that kind of example. And finally, then, let us also see how many remained behind. How many remained behind? We have 42,360. We have a couple of other waves in generations after that, but the numbers are simply not that great. There are some that refused to leave Babylon. They had developed themselves a comfortable living there. They took Jeremiah's advice, but then they took it to seed. Pray for the peace of the city, give in marriage, have children, build houses, plant vineyards, do all of that until the time when you'll be called home. Well, after they had done all of that, many were not willing to come home. And we don't want to consider that to be a good thing. That was a bad thing, that it spoke ill of their dedication to the true religion. Those tares that grew up alongside the wheat choked out the word and the concerns of this world, the concerns of this world choked out the word, that it became unfruitful. So, beloved, we must be on our guard. What would we have done had we been there? I don't know. What do we do now when we have opportunity for reformation? That's the point, isn't it? All right, with that then, let's stand.